than peace.
当主耶稣基督降生在马槽里的时候，
When Jesus Christ was born in the manger,
同一个时间在旷野，天使向牧羊人显现。
The same time the angels appeared to the shepherds,
向这个牧羊人也向世界宣告哈，这个荣耀归给天上荣耀的神，地上的平安是归于神所喜悦的人。
Announced to the shepherds and the world, glory to the highest, peace to the earth.
所以这是天使向我们宣告的一个很重要的信息。随着耶稣基督的降临啊，这个平安，真正的平安来到了这个世界。
This is the angel announced to us through the born of Christ, the true peace descended on earth.
那等到耶稣基督要走的时候，要离开的时候，在最后晚餐上，耶稣又讲了一句话。
At the Last Supper before Jesus left the earth, he said one thing.
耶稣说，我讲这些事告诉你们，是要叫你们在我里面有平安，在世上你们有苦难，但你们可以放心，我已经胜了世界。
Jesus said, those I told you that so you can have peace in me. You will have trouble on this earth, but I have overcome evil.
所以从耶稣的降生一直到耶稣的离开，一直贯穿的一个主题就是平安。
So from his birth to his ascending to heaven, one common thread is peace.
所以接下来这一个星期哈，我们会借着一些的经文啊，一些的引导啊，大家可以拿到这个单张哈，中英文双语的。
So in this coming week, you receive this pamphlet in both Chinese and English.
集中的来思考耶稣怎么带给我们平安。
So you focus on thinking how Christ brought us peace.
我们又当如何借着我们的信心来得到属天的平安。
And how do we receive peace through our faith?
让我们一起来低头祷告。
Let's bow our head and pray.
天父，谢谢你借着耶稣基督的降生把平安带给我们。
Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that you brought true peace through the birth of Christ.
每年我们借着过圣诞节，过着降临节，我们再一次来思考，耶稣是我们的盼望，耶稣是我们的平安。
Through celebrating Christmas and Advent, we're pondering how Jesus brought us true hope and peace.
请你让我们把我们的心完全向你来打开，来迎接你进到我们的心中。
Help us to open our heart completely to receive you in.
除去我们心中一切的拦阻。
And take away all hindrance.
让我们真实的经历你所应许的那真正的平安。
And help us truly experience the peace you promised.
我们的祷告是奉耶稣基督的名。
We pray in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.好，请我们当中的小朋友啊，可以参加你们的主日学的教室。
Children may go to your classroom.
我们继续我们《使徒行传》的系列。
We'll continue the Book of Acts.
我们在读福音书的时候，有的时候我们会为这些门徒有点着急。
When we read the book of Gospel, we feel like worrisome about those disciples.
总觉得这些门徒比较反应神的那个速度比较慢。
We feel the apostles react very slowly.
耶稣跟他们讲很多事情，讲一遍他们听不懂，讲两遍也听不懂，一再一再的讲，他们还是不懂。
Their head seems to be very dense when Christ repeatedly telling them, but they still didn't get the point.
这是我们读圣经的感觉啊。
This is how we felt when we read.
但等到我们真正去经历神的时候，我们发觉，哎，我们也不比他们强多少。
When we truly experience, we feel like we're not that any better.
每到这个时候，是我们感恩的时候。
At this time, we should be thankful.
因为神如果是这样的耐心，主耶稣这么耐心地对待这些看起来很反应很慢的门徒，神今天也一样这样对待我们。
If Christ were very patient with these apostles, He is even more patient with us.
我们读《使徒行传》已经读了三分之一了。
We have read two-thirds of Acts.
大家读到这里有没有一点着急？
Are you feel like worrisome?
三分之一都过去了，福音转来转去还是在犹太人当中哎。
2/3 already passed in the Acts. The gospel still only among the Jews.
早在第一章耶稣升天之前就已经明确讲要把福音传到地极啊。
In the chapter 1, Christ already gave them a great commission to spread the gospel to the end of the earth.
如果三分之一的篇幅都过去了，福音还在犹太人当中，还没有走到其他的种族当中。什么时候才能把福音带到地极去哦？
Two-thirds of the act already passed. The gospel still remain only among the Jews. When does the Gentile have a chance?
我们会不会觉得这个教会当时的教会是不是反应太慢了？
We felt like they're very slow in reaction.
但其实我们也一样。
We're the same.
所以当我们读到这些经文的时候，读《使徒行传》，我们不是看一些这些好像哇，真的是。这些使徒啊，这些被圣灵充满呐、啊，这些大大蒙福的教会哈、啊，他们很积极的，很这个这个主动的去跟随神去传福音，不是这样的。
When we read the apostles, we feel like they are not actively participate with Christ.
我们读到的经文让我们看到，当初的教会就像今天的教会一样啊，圣灵是充满在我们当中啊，但是人就是这样啊，没有很积极的，没有很主动的。神都有点等不及了，要催逼他们，要激励他们，亲自好像有点手把手拉着他们走出来。
So the church from the early founding fathers, just like today, they are not actively following. They are seems to be led by Christ hand by hand.
为什么教会会这样的慢的回应神的差遣呢
？How come the church is slow in response?
就是因为有一些的拦阻。
Because there are some hindrances.
外面有拦阻，最主要的还是在里面的拦阻。
There are outside hindrances and also hindrances within.
这是我们今天看的哈，在教会里面有一些传统，他们习以为常了，就这样做，一直做下去。
There are traditions in church.
必须在这些事情有所突破啊，才能够把福音带给更多的人。
That we have to have breakthrough to some of the traditions to bring gospel to people.
所以今天我们读这一段哈，集中来思考哈，来对照这个圣经的经文这些真实的记载哈，来看当初神是怎么手把手的哈，拉着这些门徒，拉着这些使徒，带领着这些教会哈，突破这些传统的拦阻。
So after read the passage, you can see how in the beginning God lead them step by step.
每一家都有传统。
Every family has traditions.
我们小的时候，每一年都盼着过春节，哦，那是最开心的时候。
When we were childhood, we anticipate the spring festival.
在美国这么多年哈，这个，都很期盼过这个感恩节，过这个圣诞节。
While we're here living in the North America, we anticipate to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas.
到这个时候哈，这个家人不管。这个在哪里工作，离得多远啊，都聚到一起啊，大家一起过节。
And family always return united to celebrate the season.
传统不一定是坏事。
Tradition not necessarily all bad.
家庭的传统给我们一种归属感。
A family tradition gives us a sense of belonging.
让我们觉得很温暖，很稳定。
Make us secure and feel warmth.
也是建立起家人之间彼此很强烈这种的连接的纽带。
It also connect us.
教会的传统也是这样啊，让信仰能够一代一代在教会当中很稳定的、很持续的传递下去。
Such as church tradition, so our beliefs can pass to generations.
每一年到这个时候哈、啊，我们就要纪念主的降生，这是教会的一种的传统。
Every year when we come to Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Christ.
其实耶稣是真正在12月25号降生的吗？这件事也有争议哈，但这些不重要。
And are Jesus really born on December 25th? There are debate, but this is not important.
教会里面大家就是借着这种传统，到这个时候就是来思想啊，耶稣基督降生的那个意义。
So we use this tradition. We think the meaning of birth of Christ.
那到了春天啊，我们就要准备过这个复活节的时候，也是教会的传统。但是呢，帮助我们借助这种的传统，让我们的心思意念进一步的转向神。
When the spring comes, we celebrate Easter. This is also a tradition, but through this tradition, help us pondering of the Christ.
那什么时候传统变成拦阻的呢
？When does tradition become a hindrance?
这是我们今天哈第一个思考的问题。
This is the first question we should think.
割礼啊，割礼本身是好事还是坏事啊
？Circumcision is a good thing or bad thing?
割礼开始的时候是一个神与亚伯拉罕立约的记号，是好事。
Circumcision is the first sign of Abraham with God, is the covenant.
当初神呼召了这个亚伯拉罕哈，带他出了乌尔，然后进到迦南地哈，跟他一次再次的跟他立约。
First, when the Lord called Abraham out of his homeland to the promised land, he made a covenant with him.
神应许要赐福亚伯拉罕和他的后裔，哈，后裔像天上的星，海边的沙一样多。
God promised his descendant will be as multitude as the star that the sand.
赐给他这片土地，要给他儿女承受这片地为业。
And give him the land that his children will inherit it.
应许哈，君王从他这里出来哈，这个国家从他当中能够设立。
And also promised the king will come out of his descendant and kingdom will be established.
这些的立约，神给他这些应许有什么凭据呢
？And what is the proof of the covenant？
所以到了亚伯拉罕99岁的时候，神就给他一个记号啊，你什么样的人是跟我有这样立约，我可以赐福的人呢？就是要行割礼的人。
So when Abraham was 99 years old, God gave him a sign of the covenant, is circumcision.
所以很重要啊，从亚伯拉罕开始哈，他的儿子、他的后代一代一代，每个男孩子出生的第八天都要行割礼的。
Since Abraham, the firstborn, the born sons on the eighth day will be performed circumcision.
主耶稣基督降生的时候，他第八天的时候，他父母也是要为他行割礼。
Even for Christ, eighth day, his parents had him have the circumcision.
这你就知道，读到这一段的时候，为什么这些犹太人哈，他们信了耶稣以后，他们还这么如此的看重这个割礼这件事，你就知道哈，因为这个割礼的来源、割礼的意义是非常重要、非常宝贵的，是神跟他们一个。记号的缘故。
That's why you see from this passage why the Jew so emphasize on the circumcision, because that's a sign of the covenant.
但是当耶稣基督降生以后，耶稣基督来了以后，神的儿子来了以后，这一切都变了。
But when Jesus come, everything changed.
那个立约的记号所指向的那一位的实体，就是耶稣基督，已经来了。
The sign of the covenant.It's appeared in front of them.
就像你远方的家人不在你身边的时候，你天天看他照片，看他发过的录像，哇，你好享受。
Like your family who live afar, that you look at their picture, look at their video, you're missing them.
但照片上的人已经回到家了，你不用再守着那个照片了，你天天可以看到这个真人了，对不对？照片可以放在一边的。
So when the real person came home, you do not need look at the pictures.
所以亚伯拉罕跟神立约的那个当初是一种的影子，一种的预表，预表的实体，耶稣基督已经来了，你不用再守以前的东西了。
When God made the covenant with Abraham, it's a foreshadow. Now the real person come, you do not need the shadows.
如今这个立约哈，神的儿子来了啊，站在人的地位上，代表人与神已经立了一个新约了。
Now the Son of God standing in front of people.That is the new covenant.
这个约被称为新约，而且是永远不会失败的，永远不会过去的。因为立约的一方是，天父；立约的另外一方是代表人的那个，耶稣基督。
This new covenant will never pass because the two part of the covenant is God and the person Jesus represent the covenant.
如今你我怎么跟这个新约有份呢？怎么可以进入到与神立约的地位呢？
How do we partake in this new covenant?
就是借着洗礼归入耶稣基督。
Through baptism, belong to him.
你一旦洗礼归入耶稣基督，你就进入到借着神子和圣父立约的那个新约的关系当中。
Through the baptism, we enter into his covenant.
所以你看上一章第十章结尾的时候，当彼得看到圣灵降临，这个哥林流一家的人。都得救的时候，他接下来做的一件事，赶快把这个约确定好啊！赶快都受洗啊！受洗以后归入基督，就进入到 与神重新立新约的一个地位当中。
So the last chapter, chapter 10, when Peter saw the whole family of Galileans get baptized, received Christ, so immediately he baptized them.
这些归入基督受洗的人还需要行割礼吗？
Are those people get baptized still need circumcision?
当我们明白这个道理以后，我们就觉得说，那没有什么必要了嘛，对不对？不需要再经过亚伯拉罕那个旧约，然后再进入到新约，直接哈受洗归入基督以后，就进入到与神立约的关系。
Now we understood the meaning. We knew that we no longer need circumcision.
但是在耶路撒冷的一些的门徒哈，包括当初的使徒。还不完全体会这一点。
But the disciple, even the apostles in Jerusalem, have not truly understood.
所以看似简单的哈，从行割礼到不行割礼啊，从这个不受洗到受洗归入基督哈，这样一个简单的改变，神要花费很大的心思，很多的预备，才能够带领教会突破这一点。
It seeming, very simple changes.God spent lots of effort to make himself understood.
你看今天我们读的这个十一章第一句话就说哈，使徒和在犹太的众弟兄听说外邦人也领受了神的道。
So the passage we read, chapter 11, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard the Gentile also had received the word of God.
使徒当中彼得是走在前面的啊。
Among the apostles, Peter is the lead.
神拣选彼得啊，借着彼得先突破了他的习惯啊，然后呢，进入到哥林流家里面，向外邦人传福音，然后为外邦人施洗。
God chose Peter, the first one to break through the traditions, to lead to preach the Gentiles.
但其他的使徒在耶路撒冷的哈，包括耶路撒冷的教会。他们还不完全明白啊，所以他们听到以后呢，就等着彼得回来要问他了。
So the other apostles and disciples in Jerusalem not fully understood, so they waiting for Peter's return and asked him.
所以这里讲哈，及至彼得上了耶路撒冷，那些奉割礼的门徒和他争辩说，你进入未受割礼之人的家，和他们一同吃饭了。
So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believer criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them."
所以这里讲话的口气是很不客气的。
Their attitude and is very harsh.
中文翻译成争辩啊，你看英文写的是什么？是批评啊，是 criticize.
The English word is criticize.
而且在教会里面，不同的人。的反应也不是完全一样。
Different people have different response in church.
前面提到使徒和在耶路撒冷的门徒，这里又出了一批人哈，这一批人叫做奉割礼的门徒。
And earlier mentioned the apostle and disciples. Now another group is the circumcised believers.
那这些人哈，我们继续读下去，《使徒行传》，读这个加拉太书哈，我们发现这些人常常会出来搅扰别人。
As we read on later on in Galatians, those group of people often come to prohibit people.
一开始彼得也不明白。
In the beginning, Peter didn't understand either.
其他的使徒也不是完全明白。
The other apostle not fully understood.
包括耶路撒冷的教会一开始也没有完全体会。
Even the church in Jerusalem.
但是这些人呢，他们的心是向神敞开的啊。
But their hearts are open to God.
他们看到圣灵的工作，听到圣灵所讲的话，他们愿意改变自己，这是好的。
So they see the work of Holy Spirit, and they want to change themselves.
但教会里面有这样一批人哈，他们始终不明白，而且不仅不明白，还不断的在抵挡神的作为。
There are a group of people in the church. Not only they did not understand, but they are actually blocking it.
这就造成教会的发展过程当中的很大的问题。
This become a problem in the progression of church.
而且我们发觉这个问题会反反复复啊。现在这一段我们看到，哎，他们明白了，他们突破了啊。但过了一段时间，这些事情还会再回来，这些人还会再回来。
We'll see that problem like such repeat itself.
那我们就看看哈，这个神怎么帮助他们带来这种突破这个教会的传统。
But let's take a closer look how God led them to break through.
我们看到哈，这个彼得在这一段话从第四节开始哈，跟教会、跟其他的使徒、跟门徒、跟其他人、众人在讲解这一段话是蛮关键的哈，从第四节一直讲到第十七节。
From verse 4 to 17, those passage is very important.
他开讲之前哈，其他人不是很明白。但是讲完之后，你看到第十八节哈，这里讲说，众人听见他这话呢，就不言语了啊，只归荣耀与神，说这样看来，神也赐恩给外邦人，叫他们悔改的生命了。
Before Peter explained to them, people did not understand. At verse 18, when they heard this, they have no further objection and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentile, God has granted." Repentance that leads to life.
所以教会耶路撒冷教会的这种的改变，跟彼得在这一段的讲解非常有关系。
So the change of church, of the church is very is important because of what Peter explained.
彼得解释了三件事情。
Peter explained three reasons.
彼得很耐心的把他所经历、他所看见、所听见、所经历的事情呢，讲给别人听。
He explained to the people what he experienced.
所以彼得在这里呢，也给我们设下一个很好的榜样啊。他没有着急啊，他没有发火气。
Peter set a very good example. He was patient and not anxious.
他只是一五一十的很安静、很平静的哈，跟教会去解释。圣灵会在人心里做工的，会改变人的想法。
He explained to the people patiently. The Holy Spirit will change them.
他第一件事情讲说他看见什么。
First, he saw. He explained what he saw.
他说我看见异象了，神让一个大布落在我的面前，上面有各样的这个牲畜、走兽、昆虫、飞鸟。
Peter first told them that he saw a vision. A big cloth came down from heaven.
这一段上周我们已经读过一遍了啊。
We have read this last week.
这个作者这个路加不厌其烦呢，第十章讲记一遍，到第十一章再记一遍。
The author Luke explained it twice in chapter 10 and 11.
就告诉我们这一段反复的去讲啊，告诉他们圣灵的工作哈，神借着这种反复重复的经文让人明白哈，这里的重点所在。
God used this repeated passage to let people understand.
圣灵体贴人的软弱哈。让他们直接看到这样一个清楚的意象，帮助他们产生突破。
The Holy Spirit know our weakness; He helped them to understand.
彼得讲的第二件事就是我听见什么三次哦，三次从天上有声音讲，这不是我想象出来的啊、哦！天上有声音告诉我们要去吃，要去突破，要不要把人分门别类啊？都是神所爱的，都是神要救赎的。
Peter, the second thing Peter said, what he heard.Three times he heard the voice from heaven to eat and to preach the gospel to Gentiles.
第三件事情，彼得就告诉他们说，不光我看见了，不光我听见了，神而且一个再一个，一共五次给我了印证了，这是真的。
Peter said, "Not only I saw, I heard, I have confirmations five times."
第一个印证，神亲自差派人来找我，喊着我的名字，这些人以前不认识我，他怎么知道我的名字？神差他们来的。
First confirmation, he's God sent people to look for me.
而且这三个人出现在我楼底下的时候，圣灵当时就跟我讲话说去，跟他们一起去。
When those three people came downstairs at the door, Holy Spirit told me to go and meet them.
第二个印证不是我一个人去啊，不是我一个人听见，这六个弟兄啊，犹太的弟兄跟我一起去的，跟我一起同做见证人的。
Second confirmation, not only we receive, it's not just me. There's six brothers with me.
第三个印证，当我进到哥尼流家里的时候，哥尼流就开始跟我讲他看见什么，他的意象跟我的意象是完全吻合的，是在一起的印证。
The third confirmation is Cornelius explained to me his vision and mine aligned.
是神亲自派天使在异象当中对哥尼流讲话，点名要他去来找我啊！这双方面都是神在安排、神在设计的。
God sent His angels to Cornelius to look for me.
第四个印证啊，当我一开讲， 我的话还没有讲完，我的福音刚刚讲完，耶稣的死而复活以后，圣灵就降下来了。
The fourth confirmation is before my words was ended, the Holy Spirit descended.
就像在五旬节一样，圣灵的降临是一种能看得见、能听得见、能感受得到的一种特别的方式哈，降临在这些人身上，而且这些人有反应啊，他们圣灵降下以后，他们就开始讲方言了。
Just like the day of Pentecost, that the descending of the Holy Spirit is palpable, that people start to respond.
这不是我想象出来的，这不是我一厢情愿呢。圣灵亲自来给我来做印证啊，这件事情是出于神的。
It's not my imagination. The God sent Holy Spirit to confirm Himself.
第五个印证啊，他说那时候我就想起来了。想起来主耶稣基督在升天之前讲过的一句话。
The fifth confirmation is at the time, all of a sudden it dawned on me. Christ have said to us.
你们受这个约翰为你们施洗是用水给你们施洗。
Jesus said, John baptized you with the water.
但过不多日哈，你们要受圣灵的洗礼。
And later on, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
这句话耶稣什么时候说的呢？就是在《使徒行传》第一章哈，耶稣即将要升天之前，告诉门徒的话。
This is the passage Jesus said before he ascended to heaven.
然后到了第二章，圣灵就降临，然后他们就被圣灵充满。
And chapter two is the Pentecost of the apostle received the Holy Spirit.
彼得、耶路撒冷其他的使徒。耶路撒冷的教会都知道，因为这是他们亲身的经历，他们知道那个圣灵的洗就是指着五旬节圣灵有形有体看见摸着着的方式降临在他们当中那一件事。
Peter and the apostles and all the believers in Jerusalem knew this. Pentecostal, they see the descending of the Holy Spirit.
如今又有一个外邦人的五旬节发生了哈，同样的事情发生在哥尼流家里，这是神的作为。
This is like the Pentecostal in like the Holy Spirit in Gentiles. This is God's action.
所以当彼得哈一五一十的把他看见的、听见的，以及圣灵和其他人一再的印证，一五一十、原原本本、从头到尾讲给耶路撒冷的教会听。
So this is what Peter described to the people in great details.
没有人可以否认啊这件事情。是神的作为，神的带领，彼得只是跟随圣灵的带领去做事而已。
No one can object this. This is not just Peter's own action, it's he followed God's lead.
所以总结一下啊，圣灵通常是怎样带领教会，带领我们基督徒产生突破啊，突破各样的拦阻，让福音广传的呢？
Let's summarize. How does Holy Spirit lead Christians to have breakthrough to preach the gospel.
第一件事情有神明确的话语。
First, God's clear teaching.
耶稣在一章八节早已经讲了啊，这件事情是的，不光是耶路撒冷、犹太全地，直到地极啊、撒玛利亚，都要把福音传道，都要为耶稣做见证。
Jesus clearly described in chapter 1, verse 8, preach the gospel to all earth the end.
圣灵在没有降临之前，耶稣先有话语告诉他们，让他们等在耶路撒冷，就会有圣灵降临在他们当中。
Before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus already foretold them.
所以我们在教会的各样的施工当中，一定要首先回到神的话语当中，明白圣经是怎样教导的啊。我们做的事情是要照着圣经的教导去行。
So before in all ministry in the church, we have to fully understand what God taught us in the Bible.
第二个啊，教会产生突破的很重要，就是顺从这个圣灵的带领。
The second important thing is the church have breakthrough is to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit.
在这个过程当中哈，这个彼得在祷告当中哈，听到圣灵在讲话。
Peter heard the Holy Spirit in his prayer.
当那个人来找他，他搞不清楚到底怎么回事。圣灵又再次清楚地告诉他：“你跟他们去。”
When people called, come to visit him and called him, Holy Spirit tell him to follow.
圣灵是活的，他就住在我们教会当中，住在我们每一个信徒的当中。所以我们要花时间祷告、等候， 花时间跟众同工在一起祷告等候，这是圣灵引导教会非常重要。
The Holy Spirit is living among us. That's why we need to pray with co-workers to wait for Him.
第三个啊，在这个过程当中，彼得成了那个先行者啊，神的拣选啊，拣选了彼得，让他先突破个人的那个习惯、那个传统，然后再借着他去带领别人。
The third is God selected Peter to be the pioneer to lead others.
那这个先行者他有个责任啊，他所经历、他所看见、他所领受的，一定要跟其他人好好的去分享。
There's a duty for the pioneers. What he experienced, received from God, he has to explain clearly to others.
圣灵不仅会感动这个彼得，他也会感动那六个弟兄跟他一起去。他也会在彼得在向教会讲述的过程当中感动其他的人，让大家一起认出这是上帝的带领。
Holy Spirit not only touched Peter, also the following six brothers. As well, while Peter is preaching, the Holy Spirit also touched the audience heart.
最后啊，听的人啊，弟兄姐妹，当我们感受到圣灵的带领的时候，我们要彼此的顺服。彼此的同心，然后才能产生教会作为整体的一个突破。
Lastly, when brothers and sisters receive the Holy Spirit, we have to submit one to another and co-worker together.
不容易的事情啊。
It's a not easy task.
在教会当中啊，好多我们都已经习以为常的一直在做的事情啊，突然要改变了。突然又跟以前不一样了，突然好像有新的看见，有新的方向了。哇，这个时候我们真的是要同心的等候，同心的祷告，一起彼此的倾听哦，一起来认出神的带领。
It's not easy. We are used to a certain mode to doing things. Now things change. A new vision comes. We need to be patient with one another and pray together.
这真的是在教会当中哈、啊，一些这时候的改变啊，而且。不只是一次性的，有的时候会反反复复啊，同样的问题还会再重复的出现。但是我们要真实哈、啊，凭着信心来跟随主的时候，才能够产生那种真实的成长，教会的成长。
Things happen just not once. Sometimes we have to face the same problem again and again. That's why we need to be united in prayer.
我们读下去哈、啊，这些奉割礼的门徒又出现了啊，在这个《使徒行传》第十五章的时候，这些人跑到别的地方去，跑到这个安提阿啊，有几个人从犹太下来，教训弟兄们说：“你们若不按摩西的规条受割礼，不能得救。”
As we read on in chapter 15, we can see those group of people came down to Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believer unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved.
保罗和巴拿巴就与他们大大的纷争辩论啊，讲不通，然后就带着人一起去了耶路撒冷啊，在耶路撒冷通过开大会的方式，把这件事情要确定下来。
Then Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas was appointed along with some other believers.To go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question.
这些人不仅是从耶路撒冷跑到安提阿，他们还跑到加拉太啊，这是保罗写加拉太书的时候记载的。
They not only went to Antioch, they also went to Galatia.
从雅各那里来的人未到已先，他就是彼得哈、啊，彼得和外邦人一同吃饭，及至他们来到，他因怕奉割礼的人。就退去与外邦人隔开了。
For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentile. But when they arrived, he began to withdraw back and separate themselves from Gentiles because he was afraid those who belonged to the circumcision group.
同一个彼得
哦。Same Peter.
这个彼得当初是很勇敢进入到哥林流家，向他们传福音，跟他们一起。吃饭甚至住在他家，然后为他们施洗的彼得。
The same Peter baptized the Gentile and ate with them.
那这里讲啊，在加拉太，在后来发生的事情的时候，竟然这个彼得也在同样的事情上，啊，软弱退后，不敢跟这个外邦人在一起吃饭。
The same courageous Peter was afraid of those people. He withdrew.
这里被称作这些人是从雅各那里来的。
It said those people came from James.
那这个雅各在其中起了什么作用啊？圣经没有仔细的讲，但显然这些人在教会里面一直产生这种的搅扰，啊，拦阻这个福音的传播。
What role James played, we did not know. Apparently, those people are very disruptive in church.
甚至啊，这个保罗用很强的这个口吻告诉他们说，这些人所传的福音不是真的福音，这些人传的福音是另外一个福音。谁要传这样的福音是可咒可诅的。
So Paul used very firm words that those people preached a different gospel.
经历神的带领啊，产生这个突破之后，我们这是要一直要持守。
Follow the Holy Spirit, have a breakthrough. We gotta hang on to it.
这是在啊《使徒行传》第十一章我们看到的哈，神的带领，神的作为。
This is what we see God's mission in chapter 11.
这里有两重意义上的突破。
There are two meanings in this breakthrough.
第一重意义的突破是借着彼得他个人的经历和带领，让耶路撒冷的教会哈懂得把福音传给未受割礼的这个外邦人，是神的带领。
The first breakthrough through Peter's experience, he let the Jerusalem church knew to preach the gospel to Gentiles.
然后我们在这里从第十九节开始，我们看到这里产生了第二重的突破。
In verse 19, we see the second breakthrough.
这一次呢，是借着耶路撒冷的直堂啊，在安提阿建立的新的教会，产生了一个全新的传福音的模式。
Through the Jerusalem church planting churches in Antioch.
大家注意十八节哈，当圣经记载说这些耶路撒冷的教会的人明白以后呢，只是说他们不说话了。
As we read earlier in verse 18, those people finally understood and they were quiet.
但他们并没有明白这个道理以后马上就怎么样去向外邦人传福音，没有这样做。
They did not immediately take action.
他们是把荣耀都归给神，说是啊，神也让这个恩典，救恩的恩典到外邦人当中。
So they gave glory to God, for that able to preach gospel to Gentiles.
但他们没有马上就差派人去向外邦人去传福音。
But they did not send out missionary to preach to Gentiles.
这件事情是在哪儿发生的呢
？So where did this happen?
是在安提阿发生。
It's in city of Antioch.
所以这里面就产生了第二重的突破哈，这个耶路撒冷慢慢的哈就淡出了这个差派的这个中心的位置哈，神兴起了第二个教会，就是在安提阿的教会。
So this is the second breakthrough that church in Jerusalem start fading away, that church of Antioch take the central role.
我们使徒行传读过来哈，当中两个主要人物大家记得哈，就知道这个使徒行传的分段哈，前面一部分，后面一部分的这个区别。
As we read the book of Acts, there's two main roles.
十二章之前，主要的人物是彼得。
Chapter 1 to 12, the main character is Peter.
第二章五旬节的时候，彼得站起来讲道。
Chapter 2, in Pentecost, Peter stood up and spoke.
五旬节之后行的第一个神迹是神借着彼得使那个瘫子得医治。
The first miracle is after Pentecost, Peter enabled the cripple to walk.
被抓、被打的、啊、被逼迫的，都是以彼得为代表。
Was persecuted, imprisoned, was the leader as Peter.
那从这个第七章、第九章保罗开始出现以后，到了第十三章开始以后，基本上就是围绕着保罗为中心来记载保罗所做的事情。
Start chapter 7, 9 to 13.The second main character appeared is Paul.
前十二章的主要的教会，神使用的差派的中心、训练的中心是耶路撒冷教会。
The first 12, the center is Jerusalem church.
但到十三章以后啊，你看差派的主要的使人得救哈、啊，教会成长都是发生在安提阿。
And after chapter 12, the center stage relocated to Antioch.
所以今天这个十一章第十九节是第一次哈安提阿教会登场。
So today chapter 11:19, the first took stage is Antioch.
这里讲哈，这个耶路撒冷出来这些门徒走到哪儿呢？腓尼基啊，在这里。
They talk about the believers from Jerusalem went to Sidon.
继续往北走哈，到居比路啊，今天我们叫塞浦路斯岛。
And continue northward to Cyprus Island.
再往北走哈，就到了安提阿，在这个地方。
And further north is Antioch.
所以安提阿当时在整个罗马帝国当中第三大城啊，那是一个很大的城。
At back then, the Roman Empire, Antioch is the third largest city.
它处在一个非常重要的一个交通枢纽的地方。
It's a very geographic center location.
从这个欧洲经过小亚细亚，要往这边来去非洲、去亚洲啊，都会经过这个地方。
And it's the hub from Africa, from Europe to Asia.
所以这里成为一个。交通的中心也成为一个商业的一个很繁华的地方。
It's the traffic and the business center.
仅次于罗马城，非洲的亚历山大城之后的第三大城市。
It's a third after Rome and Alexandria.
当时这个城里面大概有50多万人。
It's a 500,000
包括各个种族的人，希腊人、罗马人、犹太人、叙利亚人，各种各样的人聚集在一起。
And a multitude of races there.
他们的宗教也非常的混杂，各种各样的假神崇拜都在其中。
They have mixed religions.
所以神使用这样一个地方建起了继耶路撒冷之后的第二个教会的中心。
So God used the city of Antioch to become the second center of gospel.
我们在这里稍微比较一下，看看这两个教会之间的差别。
Let's compare what's the difference between the two churches.
就是这样的比较，也让我们看到神做事的一种的方式。
From the comparison, we can see how God do things.
借着第二代的教会的兴起，直堂这个耶路撒冷可以说是母堂，这个安提阿教会是子堂，是被新建的一个教堂。
A Jerusalem church may be the mother church, then this second generation is Antioch church.
耶路撒冷是有史以来第一个教会所在的地方。
Jerusalem is the first church established.
它大大的被神使用啊，在这里3000人信主，5000人信主，很多的人在这里的造就。
It was used mightily by God. 3,000, 5,000 become believers.
不光12个使徒在这里传福音，带了很多人信主哈。第二代的领袖像腓力啊，像斯提凡呐，像这些人，一代一代新的一代渐渐的兴起成为新的教会的工人。
Not only the 12 apostles, the second generation like Philly and Stephen, also great leaders.
我们读下去也发觉安提阿也是这样做的。他们在那里不光向犹太人传福音，也向外邦人传福音，带了许多人信主。
So is the church of Antioch. Not only they preach to the Jews, they also preach to the Gentiles.
巴拿巴被拆过去在安提阿，在那里看到神的工作他就马上去把保罗从家乡大树叫来跟他一起在那里栽培门徒，训练同工，在那里建立教会。
Barnabas was sent there. He saw God's work. He called upon Paul to join him.
耶路撒冷教会往外差派人当他们听说，撒玛利亚那边福音的工作，马上就把彼得拆过去要看一下。
Jerusalem churches.When they heard God's moving towards Samaria, he sent Peter there.
那彼得去了以后，他还会回到耶路撒冷。
Peter went and came back.
然后第九章结尾的时候讲说，这个彼得周游四方去传福音。
In chapter 9, we saw that Peter traveled around, preached the gospel.
那出去一段时间又回到耶路撒冷所以这是短宣。
So he went out and came back, so short-term mission.
但从这个安提阿开始他们差派巴拿巴和保罗出去一出去就是好几年，一出去就在各地不停地传福音建立教会，这是长宣。
And start the church of Antioch. They send Peter and Barnabas for a couple years. It's a long-term mission.
所以前13章这个主要的工作是围绕耶路撒冷，主要差派出去的工人都是从耶路撒冷教会差派出去的。
The first chapter 13, I talk about the main work is started from the center of Jerusalem.
但是从13章开始安提阿成了差派人出去传福音的新的教会的中心。
Start chapter 13. Antioch become the new center sending out missionaries.
耶路撒冷教会是因为斯提凡被逼迫，殉道以后，他们不得不被迫的这些人分散出去。
Jerusalem church was forced to spread out because of the murder of Stephen.
那被迫出去的门徒，他们经过很好的训练，他们无论走到哪里，随走随传，继续做见证，带了许多人信主。
Because they were persecuted, they sent out. They had good training.
那你会发觉，13章发生在安提阿教会，他们是在那里禁食祷告侍奉神的时候，神对他们讲话，他们主动出去的。
As you can see in the Antioch church, while they are fasting and pray, God spoke to them, so they were sent out.
不是等到安提阿的城里面的福音工作都做完了，他们才走出去的，因为圣灵的差遣，圣灵的引导，他们就顺服，他们主动出去，而且把他们两个牧师都差出去了。
They were sent out not because the church work was done in Antioch, but they actively follow God's lead.
我们今天读到说， 耶路撒冷的教会听到彼得所做的事情以后，他们就不吱声了，很被动，对不对？
As we heard earlier, that a Jerusalem church heard what Peter said, they were quiet, they were passive.
但是在安提阿，我们今天读19节到21节，他们一开始先向犹太人传福音，但后来有从古利奈和居比路来的人，他们主动的向这个外邦人传福音。
As we see from the church Antioch, first they preached to the Jews, then later on they actively preached to the Gentiles.
耶路撒冷的教会是很有名的，这个彼得大使徒带着众使徒12个使徒在耶路撒冷建立起来的教会。
The church of Jerusalem is famous because they have the leader Peter and all the apostles help established.
安提阿教会谁建的？
Who established the Church of Antioch?
不知道，没有名字记载在这里。
No name was mentioned.
可以说是无名的传道人，甚至这个圣经都没有称他们做传道人，称他们做门徒。
The apostles was the disciples were anonymous.
就所谓我们今天讲的这些平信徒，他们受了造就，他们忠心顺从圣灵的带领，忠心传讲福音的时候，神与他们同在。 他们就在安提阿建起新的教会了。Like
what we talk about current lay people, they were trained and established church.
教会当中也没有什么位置名分，他们也没有说一定是执事，一定是长老，他们才去做这件事情。
They were not given positions as elders and deacons.
神都使用哪些的人呢？这些人不是没有特点，他们有他们的特点。
They have their personality and characters.
神都使用什么样的信徒、门徒来做这些事情呢？
What kind of character God used as apostles and disciples?
第一个我们发觉，这些人很勇敢。
First, we see that they were very brave.
他们是因为逼迫出去的。
They were sent out because of persecution.
他们受逼迫，他们被吓破胆，他们跑到别的地方去隐姓埋名，就不吱声了。没有，他们继续传福音呢。So
they were not intimidated by persecution.
而且呢，他们没有觉得自己很可怜呢。你看，我们是逃难的，跑到安提阿来，受别人的周济，受别人可怜，没有，他们很不以福音为耻。They
did not took pity or feel sorry for themselves.
就像今天我们听到的，在国内很多被抓被关的这些传道人，大家都觉得很可怜，为他好好祷告，求神怜悯他们，快快出监。没有，他们不是这样祷告的。Just
like we heard the missionary were persecuted in mainland China, we may think we feel sorry for them.
我们很感恩的是，越来越多这些被抓、被关、被逼迫的基督徒，中国大陆的基督徒，发觉这是神给他们的一种的差派。But
we give thanks to God that those believers in China, they feel this is God's mission in their life.
他们不以为因为福音的缘故被抓、被关而羞耻。
They were not feel shame because they were captured for the gospel.
反而他们就说，这是好机会，我们可以在监牢里面向那些警官传福音，向被关的其他的囚犯传福音。
They think this is a good opportunity to preach to other prisoner or prison guards.
这些平信徒门徒有什么特点？他们出污泥而不染。
What character you see in those lay believers? They're not affected by the environment.
刚才跟大家讲，这个安提阿是一个很繁华的、贸易很繁荣的一个城市。这样的城市常常是非常淫乱的城市。
We mentioned earlier, Antioch is a booming economic city. Usually, those kind of city is very chaotic.
这里面也很多的挣钱的机会哈，但是呢，这些的门徒没有去被这些事情所污染。There
are lots of opportunity to make money, but the believers was not distracted by that.
抓住机会，专心的、用心的去为耶稣去做见证。They
seized the opportunity to testify.
就像我们今天哈，如果我们有这样的愿望，想为神所使用的话，不能被这个时代的消费的文化呀、享乐的文化所污染了。Just
like today, if we want to be used by God, we should not be polluted by our current commercial cultures.
第三个，这些人有什么特点？他们没有被那种所谓包容的文化所污染。
The third character of those people, they are not deceived by the inclusive culture.
安提阿城里面很多的偶像啊，各种各样的宗教自由啊，都在那里。Within
the city of Antioch, there are many religions and idols.
他们没有说你们信你们的，我们信我们的，井水不犯河水，没有。So
they did not say that you believe what you believe, and we won't bother you.
他们不相信条条大路通罗马。They
do not believe all roads leads to Rome.
他们专心地传讲耶稣基督是唯一的拯救，天上地下没有赐下别的名可以靠着得救的。They
focus on preaching Jesus Christ is the only way and only path to God.
这些门徒虽然没有记载他名字啊，但他们真的是有很多很宝贵的品质，他们没有等待。Those
lay people, even though their name was not recorded,
没有等到说我要被按立成执事啊，做了长老啊，做了牧师，我才去传福音。They
did not wait to have a name as a pastor, deacon, or elders.
没有等候教会有个特批批准了以后，我们才去做的。They
did not that the church grant them permission.
他们明白耶稣基督的使命，耶稣基督的托付。They
understood God's great commission.
他们就主动地去做，抓住各样的机会，不仅是向犹太人传福音，还向其他的人传福音。They
played active roles.
这些人一个很大的特点，他们就是没有受到教会传统的束缚。And
also, they did not bound by church traditions.
为什么这里要记载说他们从耶路撒冷四散出来，他们单单地向犹太人传福音呢？
Why did this record the people came from Jerusalem only preached to the Jews?
因为这就是耶路撒冷教会的传统。Because
that was the tradition of Jerusalem church.
走到哪里，他们就是向他们本族的人传福音。Wherever
they go, they preach to their same races.
但感谢主哈，这里提到两类的人，一类叫古利奈人，一类叫居比路人，他们就主动的开始突破了这种教会的传统哈。 开始向外邦人传福音。But
over here, they mentioned the two group people. They start a new tradition, preach to Gentiles.
神当初可以使用这些无名的传道人，这些有这些品质的门徒，今天神也会使用我们来做更大的工作。God
can use those anonymous lay people. He can use us today.
所以这一段哈，就告诉我们这样一个信息哈：圣灵是主动的，神是主动的哈。在圣灵的引导之下，彼得和全教会啊，突破了种族之间的这种的拦阻，福音开始广传啊，传到外邦人当中。Here,
under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Peter and the entire church breaks through the barrier between races, and the gospel began to be spread to the Gentiles.
12月9号，每年的12月9号是被为这个中国大陆被逼迫的家庭教会祷告的一个日子。December
9th is the day that pray for the persecuted church in mainland China.
是明天，他们有5个半小时的时间哈，是从我们这边哈凌晨的4点钟开始，他们就开始在网上哈开始有祷告，有做见证，各种各样的分享。
It start our time 4 a.m. five and a half hours they start praying for the churches.
大家可以听到很多的见证啊，这些在被逼迫的底下哈，他们如何这样忠心的为主去做见证的，如何去突破各种各样的拦阻，能够让福音进到那个黑暗的地方啊，达不到那些角落哈。今啊，真是在这个时代哈，神做很奇妙的工作。
You can hear many testimonies under harsh conditions, under persecutions. They continue to testify for God.
我给大家播放这个短视频哈，分成两部分哈。前面这一部分是讲今年5月份、6月份这2个月当中，多少的教会、多少的人被抓呀、被关、被逼迫，在中国大陆。
We're going to play a video with two segments. The first one going to show us in this early this year, May, April. How many church was persecuted?
这种事情发生不是一件两件呢，这是一个普遍、持续在发生的事情。This
is not a rare occurrence. It's a common.
第二部分就讲了一个弟兄的见证。The
second segment will hear a testimony of a brother.
我们一起来看一下。Let's
watch together.
今天的中国，如果没有福音的持续的传扬，如果福音的复兴不能够持续创造世纪的恐怕将要进入长期的族群冲突和社会动荡。我们不传福音，中国就有祸。
我们的教会呢，已经到了一个地步，讲什么话都没有人要听了。今天听了就打个碎，有没有人在疯人面前会打个碎？疯人传福音才会信主，有大骂黯然的传福音，没有几个人信主。亲爱的弟兄姊妹们，今天我在找发疯的人在哪里，肯发疯的人在哪里？我们对主认识多少？我们对人的爱多少？对别人受伤的灵魂的关怀多少？ 当你看见一个人离开上帝、离开上帝，走到地狱去的时候，你无动于衷，你还是基督徒吗？第一的福生，第一盼望有人传福音。基督徒啊，如果你不传福音，你的爱心连财主下地狱的人的爱心都不如。我如果不传福音，我比灭亡的人还更没有爱灵魂的心。现在我奉主的名对你说，你要。
真正了解上帝的真理，要真正爱灵魂的心，有一个有学问、又肯发疯的人来被上帝使用。为主发疯的人在哪里呢？为无数饥渴灵魂而奔忙的人在哪里呢？哦，当时我在监牢里快死的时候，我就是。 我妈也不管我，妻子也不管我，我孩子十多年从来不叫我爸。好后来，我只有在那个时候，我说耶稣啊，如果你存在，你就来救我。好，哎，我说你如果真的有你，那我不死在监牢里，那我能够把毒戒掉。哎，以前世界上没有后悔的药，但是信了耶稣，耶稣他让我。
重新给了我一个新生命。所以说我这22年来，都是在信耶稣，我全家都信，我妻子，我母亲，我儿子，全家都在信耶稣。好，就是耶稣救了我，也救了我全家。所以说朱警官也盼望您能够信靠耶稣。
为主发疯的人，曾经在中国的街头，如今在中国的监狱里。他曾经吸毒成瘾10余年，后因福音除掉毒瘾。他摆上自己被恩典改变的生命，把基督的道理丰丰富富存在心里，用朴实的语言、简易的福音单章去喂养饥渴的灵魂。他举着写有荣耀归主、悔改信靠得救的十字架上街传福音。他传福音给快递员、保洁员、空姐、警察、国保、政府官员以及所有他遇到的人。警察说，截至2023年6月，他外出传福音1000多次。他因为传福音被行政拘留9次，一次拘留10天，8次拘留，每次15天，一共130天，而且屡教不改。菜市场、十字路口、店铺、少数民族地区都有他传福音的身影。2024年6月20日，他以组织资助非法聚集罪被判处有期徒刑1年7个月。他在看守所向人传福音，还想换个看守所继续传福音。他正在监狱继续传福音。他效法王一牧师说，我要感谢那些逼迫我们的人，用了一辈子把神的儿女送上了十字架。
当初保罗传福音的时候就被人骂作疯子。
When Paul was preached the gospel, he was called a crazy man.
说他是瘟疫。
They called him as a disease.
他去到哪里，哪里就不得安宁。
Wherever he go, there's disturbance.
今天这个弟兄叫陈文胜啊，在中国大陆神又兴起了新的一批的疯子。
Today, this brother named Chen Wensheng, God called madman in China.
无论是在自由的时候，还是在被关进监牢的时候，不停歇的为主专心的传福音。
Whether in freedom or imprisonment, he continued preach the gospel.
他们不是自找说非要去被人抓、被人关的。
They didn't ask for to be imprisoned.
他们也是被动。
They were forced.
他们当然宁愿能够自由，能够在自由的环境当中好好的去传福音。
They would rather to preach the gospel in freedom.
但即使他们被抓被关，他们也不以此为耻。
Even though they were imprisoned, captured, they were not ashamed.
虽然是被动的被抓被关，但是他们主动的回应神的这种的安排。为主去做见证。
Even though they were forced imprisonment, but they took an active role.
其实我们教会开始也是被动开始的。
Our church was forced to form.
但是我们可以主动的回应神的这种的安排，让我们做一个忠心传福音的教会。
But we can respond to God's calling in active role.
2020年，我们被逼上网络聚会，这是被动的。
At 2020, we were forced to.To meet online.
但是我们可以主动地抓住这种机会，在这个时代借助网络主动地去为主去做见证，去传福音。
But we can actively seize this opportunity to preach the gospel on internet.
所以幸福小组7.0马上要开始了，欢迎大家，鼓励大家抓住这样的机会，大家一起来同心合一地为主去做见证。
So our happiness group 7.0 is about to start.I wish all of us take an active role to participate.
让我们回应主的爱。
Let's respond to God's love.
不管得时不得时，什么样的环境，上帝把我们放在其中，我们都能够让神的爱被人所经历到。
Whether fitting or not, we have to seize the opportunity to help people experience God's love.
我们唱这首回应的诗歌，
Let's sing the response song.